Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Give me a big smile. That's better. That's good. Excellent. Okay, so the new series, I Declare. It's a phrase I like. I use it a lot in my prayer. I don't tend to just pray stuff. I declare stuff. I like the difference between saying something and declaring something. There is a difference. Just saying something is, I have this view, it's just saying something, you're just saying it. To declare it is you're really firing it out there and sending it into the airwaves. We're sending it to heaven. We're sending out a message when we declare something. And to declare, you do have to speak.
Yes.
You can't just declare things in your thoughts. You can't just declare things when you're thinking. Apart from some occasions where you might be unable to speak for whatever reason, then I trust that there's a grace from God there that enables your thoughts to become just as powerful as what you declare as well. If you have the ability to speak, I've found myself in a number of situations of enemy attacks where I wasn't able to verbalise what I wanted to verbalise, and I was able to think. First thing I thought, I can't say it, but I'm going to think and plead and declare the blood of Jesus in my thoughts, and that was powerful enough.
Wow.
As Jesus breaks through. But generally our declarations need to be something that we speak. And so for this first session today, I want to look at the whole thing of declaration, and then throughout the rest of the series we're going to go into looking at things that we should be declaring, the things that we want to be declaring into our lives, the things that we might sometimes think, we might know, we might look at, but we don't necessarily declare them over our lives. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. I'm going to make you work today, because you kind of like sit there and you don't say anything. Most of you have been at Faith Camp, and I'm sure that you weren't just sat there listening at Faith Camp.
Nope.
So you're encouraging the preacher, so I'd expect the same back in our own house as well. Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah, come on. It just lets me know that you're awake as well. Okay. But we've not got any people who've done the Pirates of the Caribbean trick where you've painted eyes on your eyelids, so it looks like you're awake, but you're actually asleep, okay? So stay awake, stay with me, otherwise I will declare you to awake and arise, okay? And I'll make you jump as well when I do it. So I declare, there's a great scripture which is well known to anybody that's well versed in the Bible, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Yeah.
The tongue has the power of life and death. The words that we speak can speak life. The words that we speak can speak death.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but that kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
When I think about the reality of that, and I think about the power that my words have, that just my human words have, is dangerous.
Yeah.
The words that my human words have an ability to bring life. My human words have an ability to bring death into somebody's life and into my own life as well. And not only do they have that power of life and death, but our words, those of us that have been filled with the Spirit and have the authority of Jesus, we carry authority in our words as well. We have become Christ. Those of us that are saved, those of us that have been born again in Jesus, we have become Christ, and therefore our words that we speak have the authority of Jesus. It's important to keep in mind that the Jesus words had authority and continue to have authority through us now. Often Jesus simply spoke to a situation, a circumstance, and heaven was released on earth.
Yeah.
He just spoke. I love those moments in the Bible, in the stories of Jesus, where he just speaks something and it's like, man, that's awesome. He didn't even have to go anywhere. He just spoke. Let's have a look quickly at some of those situations. Matthew 8:26. He spoke to the storm, and the wind and wave stopped.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
the disciples responded, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You know, it's like, stop, be still. He spoke it out. He didn't do anything. He didn't like whiz up a Wizard of Oz style kind of thing. He just spoke. He just did it. You know, there was no spells or having to get a book out and read through and recite all these things. It was just like, boom, there you go, game over, everything is still. Another one, the Roman centurion understood the authority Jesus carried when he said, "Just say the word and my servant will be healed."
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus declared, "Go, and it will be just as you believed it would be." It did. You know, the guy came to him, and he already knew the authority that Jesus' words had. You know, don't worry about coming to my house. Don't worry about laying hands on or doing whatever else you guys are into doing these days. You know, at that point, I'm sure it was very different for them. We kind of just take it as the thing now, like you lay hands on the sick. But, you know, it's like, don't worry about doing all the other stuff. Really, honestly, Jesus, I know that if you speak, my servant's going to be well. Just say the word and it will be so. He recognised the authority in Jesus' words. He recognised that for Jesus to declare something, it was powerful and it was going to produce something. Jesus spoke to the paralytic saying, pick up your mat and walk. And the man did so. And he was healed.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's like, get up and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. It's like, there was no kind of shandying in tongues, worship band going on for hours, all this big fanfare, fog machines, lights and everything else. It was just Jesus and his declaration, take your mat up and walk.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, all right then, fair enough. You've said it, your words are powerful. And he declared something which came to pass. It went and it would be done. And then with Lazarus, you know, the guy's dead, he's in a tomb. He just says, come forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he does. Yeah. Even the dead had to obey him.
Yeah.
You know, his words carried so much authority. It was like, Lazarus, come forth. Because the power of his declaration was so powerful, it ricocheted through life,
bullshit,
into death,
bullshit,
and brought the guy back.
Yeah.
He'd been in there, what, 3 days?
Four.
Yeah. 4 days?
Yeah.
So, you know, don't open the thing. It's going to stink. He's been in there. You know, bodies soon start to decompose once the spirit has left and life has gone. But yeah, it's like, don't worry about it. Come forth, Lazarus. And he created an avenue by which heaven's resources and power were released. He became that avenue by his words, by his declaration. Everything of heaven was released into that situation. The cool thing is, that was Jesus, that's what he did. But we are now in Christ.
Yeah.
And the stuff that we declare and send forth has the exact same power,
yeah,
that Jesus had. The exact same power. I don't know about you, but that's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
At the same time, as I say, it's quite intimidating as well. Because it means I've got to be careful with the idle words that I speak. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about joking around and having a sense of humour and those kinds of things. I'm talking about the genuine declarations of faith that I make and declare into a situation which I think, that's not right. I'm a bit of a joker. I will sometimes say things and sometimes come out with stuff and it might be like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But I'm not like, I don't really believe that. You know, you take it how you want. You know, you might want to be really careful with everything that you say. And, you know, we'll have to give an account for every idle word we speak. But I sometimes just come out with stuff and it's like, yeah, God, okay. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe took that a bit too far. Or that's not a good thing to say. But let's not get silly with it. And let people recognise that for themselves as well. You know, don't jump down people's throats when they say something like, oh, I shouldn't declare that over yourself. Because the church needs to be a safe place.
Yes.
And that's what I want to, as a point today, I want to, just on that side note, of the church needs to be a safe place where people, despite what's going on, feel safe to be able to say, actually, I'm going through this. I don't feel very well. I'm struggling with this. I'm finding this really difficult, without fear of somebody jumping in and somebody kind of getting on at them or thinking, what am I going to do? You know, sometimes it's a bit like this. You kind of say how you're feeling and it's a bit,
yeah.
You know. Okay, you kind of feel a bit whipped and you think, I wish I'd never said anything in the first place. Now the church needs to be the safest environment in the entire world where somebody can come with depression, with ill health, with struggles, with things that they're finding difficult, and be able to say, you know what, this is actually how I'm feeling. And I know it's not the truth, and I know it's not God's will, and I'm not declaring this over my life, but what I am saying is, this is what I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
This is what I'm struggling with, and what I need is for you to stand with me and pray for me.
Yeah.
Not to say, well, you shouldn't feel like that, or don't speak that over yourself, or, well, that's not a standpoint of faith, because that's not helpful to anybody. That's just going to cause people to become more calloused and closed off. And be so calloused in the place where they should be so soft. So let's get this straight from the start. When we're declaring things, check your own life before you start jumping into other people's lives, okay? Don't start declaring into other people's lives and saying you shouldn't say that over yourself or you shouldn't speak that over yourself. Perhaps if we came at it from a heart of love and just saying, you know what, I can see you're really struggling with that. Do you want to stand together and declare some of God's kingdom stuff into your life now?
Yeah.
Shall we stand together and declare some of God's promises now?
Yeah,
shall we stand together and declare what God really says about this situation, because I know that you might be struggling with this illness. I know that you might be struggling with this situation, but I love you enough to stand with you, not to just get the whip out and crack you and say you shouldn't say that. You know, there's a, and it's something, it's one of those things that, that leaks into the church in, the, in a hyper-faith environment where you walk in and somebody says, how you doing? And you kind of, you know you're not feeling well, and you're kind of there, you're thinking, what answer am I going to give here? And you start going into these like backwards and forward situations of, okay, well, actually I feel really unwell. But if I say I'm unwell, I'm probably going to get shot down. But if I don't say I'm unwell and I am, I'm kind of lying. So either I get shot down, I break one of the Ten Commandments, or I'm just like, and you just, you're like, you short circuit, your head explodes, you're in a situation, I just don't know what to say. Let's create a loving environment where our declaration, the thing that we declare is kingdom. We are declaring health, we are declaring victory, we are declaring prosperity, but at the same time, we're able to be real about stuff as well. We're able to be in an environment where people can come in and say, yes, I'm going through this, but I know you people are going to declare the kingdom of God over this situation. I'm able to be honest about how I'm, what I'm really going through, but I know that you're not just going to pat me on the back and say, there, there, never mind. You're going to really help me shift this round in a non-judgmental way, and in a way that doesn't make me think, yeah, I just don't want to tell anybody how I feel, because I don't want another ream of, you shouldn't be declaring that into your life, and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I get that, and sometimes there is a point where we need to do that with somebody, where somebody has got to the point where you just need to say, look, you have got to stop declaring that over your life. But don't jump straight in with that. Don't let it be the starting point. Come from a viewpoint of love. Yeah. Come from a viewpoint of saying, you know what, I really care about you, and I can see you struggling with this. Like, one, I'm privileged that you felt as though you were able to speak to me about that. Let's now pray about this. Let's declare what God has got to say about this, because that's what we've got to be doing. Mm-hmm. Not only for one another, but when people come into a contact with us, people who don't know Jesus, they've got to be ready to see a completely different response. That when they come up to us and say, I'm struggling with this, I'm finding this difficult, we can say, look, I'm a person of faith, and you might not believe the same things that I believe, but I believe that to declare some of God's kingdom stuff into your life is going to make a big difference. Can I pray with you about those things? Can we, will you agree with me as I just declare some of the biblical principles and life-giving principles from the Bible into your life now? Isn't that much more life-giving,
yeah,
and a witness than just, yes, jumping down somebody's throat and getting the whip out and saying, don't speak that over yourself. Let's get this right. Let's get this stuff packaged up right. Let's not get so hyper faith that we get so callous that we can't come to one another with our struggles, that we can't come to one another with the things that we're dealing with. And, you know, if you ever want to just see what, you know, Jeff Lucas and Adrian Plass, two Christian authors, are just brilliant at really summing up this kind of the Christian life, really, of looking at it from with humour and looking at it from a viewpoint of saying, you know what, just be real about some of this stuff. Not that you declare it into your life and that you receive it. And please hear me out here. I'm not saying that you receive this stuff. You don't. The stuff that comes against you, you don't receive it. But at the same time, you've got to be real about it and say, look, I am actually struggling with this. I've got to declare some stuff into my life. I've got to get some people around me. And both those guys themselves have been through struggles themselves, really deep struggles, and are able to look at it from a viewpoint of saying, and the both of them, their testimony into the church and over the last couple of years has been, you know, don't hide in some of this stuff. Don't hide in the things that you've got going on, because, you know, that's just silly to hide in that. You've got to be honest with somebody. You've got to be honest with people about what you're going through. And that are the facts. But the facts and the truth are two completely different things. Okay, be real about the facts, but be real about the truth even more so. The facts come along. You know, I find it completely ironic that I've been working on this stuff for the last few weeks, and over the last few days, I've had a stinking cold. Yeah, you know, I don't feel so great right now. And I think it's hilarious and it's ironic that I'm standing up here preaching a message about declaration and positive declaration. I'm not feeling 100%, but I can be honest about that. And I can say, you know what? I'm not feeling so great, but I'm declaring health over my life. I'm declaring that I am going to preach this message. I'm declaring that I am going to preach the message in Next Steps. I'm declaring that I am still going to have my barbecue when my sister and brother-in-law come this afternoon. I'm declaring that I am going to be able to meet with Faye and Steve to pray tonight. Because, yes, I feel a certain way, but my declaration is something completely different to what I'm feeling. The facts might be that I'm full of cold. The truth is that I'm declaring health and the kingdom of God into my life. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Are you getting this? That
yes.
You know, just to sort our thinking out a little bit in with regards to declaration, and really get our own declarations right before we start jumping in and declaring over everybody else as okay. Our words have power, and they have creative power. The stuff that we say does have creative power.
Yes.
We can send words out into our own life and into other people's lives, which can be so damaging.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we can send words into people's lives, which can be so uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as we've looked at before, you know, the love language, those people that are a love language of words of affirmation, it's so life-giving. But it's the same for everybody. I don't care if your love language is words of affirmation or not. Every single person likes to be told well done.
Yeah.
Every single person likes an encouraging word to be spoken to them. Every single person hates being beasted by somebody and being told you got that wrong, or you know, jumped upon, and you know, some people kind of like that kind of stuff. It's like they thrive off people like being negative and stuff. But, you know, I'm not like that. I don't thrive in that kind of environment. My first driving instructor was a bit of a taskmaster. It was just like, this is just not for me. I know I need somebody that's just encouraging me and then telling me what I'm doing wrong, but in an encouraging way, not like, you know, beating me down and rah. It's like, you know, just I don't respond to that. I'd be rubbish in the Marines with people like shouting over you and stuff. It's like, whoa, come on, calm down, guys. Let's just deal with this the right way. Let's have a cup of tea or something. Deal with things over a cup of tea and food or whatever, you know. There's nothing that a meal can't sort out.
Yes.
It's so true. But as we start to do that, but you know, our words do have creative power, and we do have to be aware that we don't speak idle stuff, that we don't just say things and, yeah, you know, the odd joke here and there, fair enough. We're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of dropping in the odd joke and the odd sarcastic comment and all those kinds of things. But what I'm talking about is things that we speak out into our lives that we're genuinely starting to believe. Things that have not just become an idle comment, but do become our declarations. Things that we declare into our lives. I'll never be successful. This sickness will get the best of me. Flu season's coming, I'll probably catch it. We've all probably said these. It's all over, I've missed my chance. And these kinds of things that we speak out into our lives, and we gradually start to believe it, and it doesn't just become an idle word, but it becomes our declaration. And we start to believe it for ourselves. We start to genuinely believe, I'm never going to be successful. Now, I had to really shift my own thinking when I started doing my degree. I've mentioned this a number of times of, you know, I can't write, I can't read, I can't spell. And I was saying all these different things. And praise God, I had a great wife who was able to really declare the opposite of that and say, you can do this. You can read, you can spell. There's spell checker for a start. Yeah. School's so much easier now than it used to be. I just think, like, when you have to do assignments at school without the internet, it's like you have to actually go in the library and find an encyclopedia and read it. You couldn't just like, ooh, wow, look at all that. I'll just print that off, copy and paste, put my own pictures on it. There you go. Yeah, so, you know, it's... It is. Don't do that. It is. It's just that different, you know. It's so different, but for me, I had to really shift my thinking, and my declaration had to become something different. My declaration had to change. What I was speaking and sending out into my life had to be something different to what I believed. And one, what I'd been told at school, and two, what I'd started to believe for myself, was that I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, I still kind of, you know, anybody that's been in my office sees my degree certificate on my wall, and I have it there because I still look at it and think, really? Seriously? Because, you know, as much as my declaration's changed, there's still something about me that thinks, no, you're just the kid that used to go to Dougie Shop at school. You know, it was called Workshop. What an awful name. It was for all the kids that couldn't read and spell. And at school, when I was at school, somebody that couldn't read and spell was called a Dougie. And so we just renamed all the people that were in there, just renamed it Dougie Shop. So you just like stand up in the middle of your class and just be like, where are you going? It's like, I've got to go to Dougie Shop now. And you go and you'd have to like read these special books and all this kind of stuff, you know. But I had a great time. So reading special books and playing special computer games to try and get your spelling and your grammar and everything else up to scratch. And you know, it's thinking, I'm just somebody from Dougie Shop that, But praise God, because I managed to change, and my declaration changed in my life, because I started to declare who God saw me as and what Jesus saw me as and what I was available to do through Jesus. And that declaration going out makes a difference. And when we're sending out those negative declarations into our lives, you know, for example, it's all over, I've missed my chance. Until you're 6 feet under, it's not over, you haven't missed your chance. Okay, it is still there.
Yes.
Okay, flu season's coming, I'll probably catch it, you know, get a flu jab for a fiver at Asda.
Yeah.
Didn't have one last year, didn't get flu either, so there you go. This sickness will get the best of me. No, it won't. You know, have a nap. Take some nice extra strong painkillers. Chill out. Declare health. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's something more serious, just keep declaring the health of God. That, you know, as soon as our declaration becomes something negative, we're sending out things in the direction we don't want it to go. And I'll never be successful. You already are successful. You already are a success in Christ. And God has made you a success. And there's far more success to come as well. We so often forget the power of the words, and we slip into saying things that are not beneficial to our lives. And like I said, not necessarily idle words. You just still give an account for those, but just the things that we say, the trap that we fall into, that becomes our declaration, that becomes a part of our identity. Yeah. And our declaration becomes so far detached from what God's got for us that we really need to reconfigure ourselves and reset the game and put it back to how it should be. I was watching Wreck-It Ralph recently. Such a good film. And basically one of the things that needs to happen is this person's got to win the game, to reset the game, to put it all back to normal. You know, win your game. You know, maybe you need to have some things a bit reset in your life. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to reconfigure some of the things in your life to say, you know what, that is not going to be my declaration anymore. My declaration is going to be this. Because the key is, you've got to send your words in the direction that you want your life to go.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again. You've got to send your words in the direction you want your life to go. You can't start sending out words of defeat and be expecting to walk into a life of victory.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work that way. Your words are creative, your words have authority, and what you speak out, what you declare into your life is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
You surely do get, you know, it says there, those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, those who love their words will eat the fruit of it. What is the fruit you're going to eat from the words that you're speaking over your life? What is the fruit that you're going to eat as a result of what it is that you... Because, you know, if you're wanting to see and expect abundance, it's no good declaring lack. Oh, I'm never going to have any money. Oh, this is never going to work out. I always get duped. I always miss the deals. I always, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I've kind of like thrown that out of the window now, of the whole thing of missing the deals or whatever. I just kind of just go for it. It's like, you know, if this is the moment, if this is right, then I'm just doing it. I'm just getting it. And I've kind of like found this really cool mentality of, okay, I'm going to get it, and if it's not right, I can just return it. And I'm kind of like helping Sam with this whole like process as well of saying, you know, it might not fit, it might not be the right thing, but that's no reason not to try it anyway. Just try it. If it doesn't, send it back. You know, I ordered a few shirts on Asda the other day. One of them was a gamble, because I know that this particular fit was going to be rather slim around a certain midsection of one's waist. And it was like, you know, but I really like this shirt, so I'll order one in anyway. And it's not the end of the world. It was too tight. Yeah, I've, you know, the buttons were ready to ping off. I could have worn it this morning. One of you had an eye go out. And it's like, ping! But, you know, it was like, it's not a big issue. I just said, you know what, I'd like to return this, please. Can I have a full refund? Yes, you can. So we've got a family wedding coming up soon, and Sam was looking at these dresses last night. She's like, I'm not sure which one's going to look better, because she's got to get a maternity dress now for the wedding, which she doesn't have. And it was like, well, why don't you just order all three and then keep the one that you want?
Yeah.
I'll send them all back if you don't like them. It's like, oh, I don't know about that. It's like, come on, difference does it make? You're not going to lose anything in the process. Just do it. And sometimes we get so caught up in our situation of lack and declaration in our lives of saying, I mean, I'm not talking about being stupid. Don't like going out and buying an Aston Martin and saying, oh, you know, I don't like it. So, you know, that it doesn't work with cars, okay? Not new ones, anyway. I took the similar approach with the new car we've got. It was kind of like, well, what if we don't like it? It's like, well, we sell it and we buy another one. You know, but I'm not going to not get it for that purpose. And like I said, don't be stupid with it. You know, don't just like, oh, well, Pastor Shane says we're going to declare him wealth and prosperity into my life, so I'm going to buy, you know, be wise. Yeah. The whole thing, you know, let wisdom marry up with all the stuff that you're doing as well. But like I said, you can't declare lack and expect to have abundance, and you can't declare defeat and expect to have victory. You've got to send the words out in the direction that you want to go. You've got to send those words going out to, like, that's where I'm heading, that's what I want to see in my life. Yeah. Because you will produce what you say. What you start declaring into your life is what you're going to produce. And our words can either bless or curse our futures. As we start to recognise that, as we think, okay, is the stuff I'm speaking, is it blessing my future? And am I speaking a curse into my future for days to come? Because if it's not blessing, it's curse. You know, the Bible's really clear on stuff. There's no, like, grey areas in the Bible. Life, death, blessing, curse, obedience, disobedience, unity, disunity. There's no kind of, like, middle ground in the Bible. That's what I love about the Christian faith. It's, you're never left second-guessing on stuff. It's like, actually, yeah, okay, if I speak that, that's going to send a curse into my future. If I speak that, that's going to send a blessing into my future. And it's simple as that. But so often we start to speak these kinds of things into our life and it just doesn't go in the direction that we want to go. We're wanting to head over there and the stuff we're speaking is going way over in the other direction. The stuff we're declaring isn't declaring into our lives what we want to see. Declaring things like, I'm not a good parent, I'm unattractive, I'm clumsy, I can't do anything right. We all hear these kinds of things that we say in our own lives. That saying those things, that's not sending words out in the direction that God wants you to go, and it's not sending the words in the direction that I know you want to go. You don't want to be heading in that direction. You might think them. We all think these things, I'm sure, from time to time, but don't make the mistake of verbalising it. I said the spoken word is far more powerful. Once we've spoken it, it's powerful, it's put out there. And the moment we speak them out, we allow them to take root. And we can start to believe it. And this is where we've got to be really careful with the idle words that we speak. And yes, joking around and all those kinds of things is great. And having I'm not talking about stripping yourself of a sense of humour, but what I'm talking about is being in a situation where when you start to speak stuff and you start to put yourself in a situation where you could, that could take root. And I've got to be, I have to be careful with this, because I sometimes can just come out with stuff and I think, I shouldn't have said that. That's not good. As much as I was joking around, that wasn't a good thing to say. I learnt loads over the last few years of just recognising there's certain things I just shouldn't say. And there's certain things that I just... I like how all the women laugh. Is that like a bit, is that aimed at husbands kind of thing? As I speak certain things, it's like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, you know. The talk about walking in church and not knowing what to say in the married relationship, goodness me. Like, 10 Commandments or the... which one? I'll just be honest. Oh, no! Bad decision. No, I'm only kidding. Always be honest. Always be honest. Be truthful at all times. Do not lie. But don't let things start to take root in your life. When you start to recognise that what was once a joke starts to become a part of who you are. Because, you know, those all those different sarcastic comments about yourself eventually just start to take root and just become a part of your character and your nature. And you never intended that to be the case, but you look back and think, how did I end up here? And it probably started with that joke. It probably started with the idle words. It probably started with something that, you know, you start to speak out over yourself, like, oh, you know, I'm just clumsy, I always do that. And eventually you're kind of like knocking stuff over all the time. And it just becomes an excuse more than anything, but it's not who you are. It's not who God's created you to be, and it is not the declaration over your life. What are you saying at this moment in time about your future, about your family, and about your finances? Are you making sure that the words you're speaking are being sent in the direction that you want your future, your family, your finances, your health, and everything else to go? So like I say, you know, it's fine to be honest about having a cold. It's fine that I'll text Faye and Steve this morning and say, you know what, guys, can you pray for me? Because I've had a cold for the last couple of days and I'm not feeling so great. I just need God's grace and strength to get through this morning and do what needs to be done. It's great to do that, and we need to be able to do that. We've got to be able to be honest with one another. But at the same time, we've got to be able to bring the kingdom of God into one another's lives as well. We've got to be able to be ready to not just jump in and say, don't do that, but to jump in and say, I'm so sorry to hear that. Let's declare some of God's stuff over your life right now. Can we pray together and declare some positive stuff? Because I don't know about you, but I've so often in hyper-faith environments where people jump down my throat and the whip comes out, that those people never offer to pray for me. You know, somebody jumps in and says, don't declare that over yourself. But there's never a follow-up and saying, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. Shall we now declare some of the God principles into your life? You know, whenever I've been in those situations where people jump down my throat and it's in those situations, it's never followed with that. It's usually just you shouldn't speak that over yourself. Oh, yeah, okay. And I'm kind of left in limbo, like, well, what now? You know what I mean? Let's get really honest and be really real with one another to the point where our relationships are strong enough to be able to deal with that we can sit face to face and say, you know, actually, I am struggling. I'm finding this difficult. I'm finding this hard. I've got to be honest with you. Please don't get the whip out. And as we do that, we start to open up deeper relationship, and we start to open up an ability to declare kingdom into our own lives and kingdom into one another's lives. Think more about declaring kingdom into somebody's life before telling them what they shouldn't be declaring into their life. Because whenever you counter anything with kingdom, it's always going to win. God always wins. Kingdom always wins. It always overpowers those things. So try to practice that a bit more yourselves. If you know that you find yourself, I sometimes find myself falling into, oh, don't say that about yourself, or don't declare that over yourself. You know, I've got to train myself as well. I'm kind of just as much in this category as everybody else is of just being a bit more with somebody and recognising, okay, well, let's just counter this with the positive stuff of the kingdom of God, the positive declarations of Jesus. Let's just get together, and as soon as I hear somebody say, I'm not feeling well, or I'm tired, or all these different things that we might say, which we sometimes feel scared to say to our Christian brothers and sisters, that instead of people being scared to say what's really going on, people are able to be honest, and they know that they're going to be met with a loving response of the kingdom that says, well, let's declare some of God's stuff into your life, because today God doesn't want that for you, and he never wants that for you. Let's be honest with one another. Let's declare one another. And putting those declarations in our own life and speaking it over ourselves is pretty much what we're going to be looking at through the rest of this series. Is looking at what are the stuff that we really should be declaring over ourselves. Because, you know, you can either go two ways. You can look at the stuff we shouldn't declare over ourselves, or you can look at the stuff we should declare over ourselves. And for me, I'm always going to go with the latter.
Yes.
In that, when we start to step into it and we say, okay, well, if I know what I'm supposed to declare, if I know this is what I'm supposed to do, then I'm less likely to do what I shouldn't do, as opposed to focusing on what I shouldn't do and then not really knowing what I should do. Sometimes I find myself in those situations in my own walk of thinking, okay, I know what I shouldn't do, but that's not really helping me with what I should do. So the whole point of this is for us to start to really see, what is God telling us that we need to declare into our lives? What should we really be declaring over our own personal lives? What should we be declaring over our family? What should we be declaring over our friends? What should we be declaring into our personal situations that we're struggling with and we're finding hard, and we're not just getting into a rut of declaring the wrong thing and declaring the things that are so against the kingdom of God that it's not the truth. It's just the facts. And the fact, as I said, the facts and the truth are two totally different things. Don't believe the facts, believe the truth.
Yeah.
Now, the facts in all of those situations that I looked at from Jesus' life were looked impossible. But the truth was that Jesus was able to speak into them and make a massive difference. You know, it wouldn't have helped in the storm if Jesus had just said to the disciples, well, what are you on about? There is no storm. But there was a storm. You know, don't be worried, there isn't a storm. Yeah, there is. No, there isn't. Lazarus is not dead. You know, Jesus did it once in a situation with Jairus' daughter, and he said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And he brought her back from the brought her back to life. But you very rarely, you didn't find him just like denying the situation. And so often we get mixed up with our declarations, and we think to deny the situation is to declare the kingdom of God into it, and that's not the truth. To deny the I just want to put this out there, that to deny anything that you are going through is not healthy.
No.
To deny it isn't healthy. To deal with it in a kingdom way and getting alongside loving brothers and sisters is how you deal with it. You start to declare into the situation. You don't just ignore it. You don't just think it's not there. Because to push it away and think it's not there, it doesn't go away. You know, you can't just say the waves are not there. Lazarus is not dead. It's like the paralytic man. What's the matter with you? What do you mean you can't walk? Of course you can. and like picking him up and making him try and stand up, and you know, it's like it wouldn't have gone down very well, would it? Like, come on, put your legs down, what's the matter with you? Of course you can walk, come on, there's nothing wrong with you, hallelujah brother, you know. where's your faith, come on, stand up, put your feet down. You know, it's like, no, seriously, I can't walk. But like, oh, well, that, don't speak that over yourself. Stand up. You know, there was none of that. It was just a get up and walk. But the guy had to go with his need first. In fact, his friends took him, didn't they, in that situation. But all these times, people had to come before Jesus and recognize, first I've got a need, now I need the situation, now I need the solution. But to ignore our need is not healthy, and it's not good, and it's not faith. It's silly. It's silly on all of our accounts whenever we do that. And I'm sure that we're all guilty at some point of doing that, of thinking, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. If I don't speak to anybody about it, it'll go away. But we need to make sure that we recognise that there's something there that needs to be dealt with, but we start to declare into that situation what it is that God wants to declare into that situation. You know, it doesn't matter. Every time I go and get my hair cut, there's more and more grey. And it doesn't matter how many times I look in the mirror at the hairdressers and say, there's no grey hair. There's still grey hair. Okay, I do keep asking them to get a white cloak to go around instead of a black one, so that I can see all the dark hairs that fall out and not all the white ones. At the moment, there's a black one, so all the greys show up. But it's no good me saying, you know, I don't have grey hair. I do have grey hair, you know. That's just the way it is, you know. I've done youth work, I've done kids work, and I've been a pastor. So, you know, I do have grey hair. It's no good me, you know, I'm not talking about like the world's approach to positive thinking and positive mental attitude, where if I think about it hard enough, the situation's going to change. That doesn't work. You know, I can't think hard enough. I can't think I am thin. I'm losing four stone. You know, that just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And, you know, the world would have to believe that it does. The world would try to tell us, don't worry about your declaration. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about all that kind of stuff. If you think hard enough about it, you know, if you're Dorothy and you've got some magic slippers, it might work. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. You know, it got her back to Kansas, didn't it? But we're not the Wizard of Oz, okay? This is reality, okay? This is a situation where it is reality. And for me to just think about these things isn't going to change it. I've got to declare the truth of God's word into every single one of those situations. Sometimes my personal declaration and the authority Jesus has given me into that situation is enough to change that situation, and straight away something breaks. Sometimes I need other brothers and sisters to stand with me and say, okay, we're declaring and standing with you in this situation because I can see you need help. You need somebody to stand with you. You need somebody that's going to declare the word of God into your life and declare and believe with you. So we're never meant to go it alone, and we've looked at that countless times. We need to declare and send our declaration right into where it is that God's got for us. Not where we think we're going, not where we think we should be, but where God has told us to be and what God has told us to do. Our declaration should always be the truth, yes. Not the facts.
Yes.
We're truth, we recognise the facts, we recognise that it's real, and we accept the reality of it, but we do not accept it as the truth.
Yes.
Our declaration is something different. When we get a report from a doctor, that might be the facts, but the reality and the truth of it is something different.
Yes.
Now, don't kid yourself into thinking that we can't be real. Okay, we live in the real world. I don't know if you noticed that. Okay, yes, we're supernatural, but we're called to be naturally supernatural as well. We live in a natural world, but we have a supernatural ability that we bring with us. But stuff still happens. This is the real world. Okay, this is not a dream world. Okay, it's not the Twilight Zone, it's not the Matrix, it's not any like made up kind of world. Okay, this is reality. Okay, it's not a video game, it's not Second Life or anything else that people like to create, you know. So often you hear people have a second life, you know, perhaps they, you know, people so often think about that as like, well, what's wrong with their first one? But I heard somebody say that, well, his first life is so awesome that he wanted a second one as well, so, and he created a second life within Second Life, because that was awesome as well, so, but this is reality. Let's recognise that we need to be real. There's facts all around us, but the facts is not the truth. And I really want to hammer that home today. Don't believe the facts, believe the truth.
Yes.
We see the facts and we see that that's on the paper, but what we hear from God is the truth. Mm. The voice of truth speaks out something totally different. The doctor's declaration is not God's declaration. Mm. The other person's declaration is not God's declaration. Mm. If it's not in line with the kingdom, you don't have to accept it. You can see it as, okay, that's the fact. Okay, I can see this is what's going on, but my declaration is something totally different. My declaration is kingdom. My declaration is what Jesus has put on the inside of me. My declaration is what is going to happen. And, you know, we all find ourselves in situations where we're overwhelmed, but the declaration keeps going forth and keeps going forth. And as we keep declaring those things, we see God come to work. We see God go to work on our behalf. And, you know, we've got so many things that we can speak over ourselves, and we can declare ourselves to be all these things that God's got for us. And I love this quote from Joel Osteen. I'm going to finish with this. And he says this. He says, when you look in the mirror on a morning, don't say, oh man, look how old I am. Look at this grey hair. Look at these wrinkles. You need to smile and say, good morning, you beautiful thing. Good morning, you handsome thing. Good morning, you blessed, prosperous, successful, strong, talented, creative, confident, secure, successful, strong, talented, creative, confident, secure, disciplined, focused, highly favoured, child of the Most High God. That's the declaration. Regardless of what's been said to you, regardless of who it was who said it, if that's not what the declaration was, then it is not the truth. You might think it's a fact. You might think that it's what somebody said to you. And yes, in some situations there might be a fact. Your bank statement might not say that you are prosperous, but the declaration is you're prosperous. Mm-hmm. The doctor's report might not say that you are healthy, but the declaration is you are healthy. Mm-hmm. And all these other ways that we look at this, as we start to take a hold of that and say, okay, well, this is the declaration, this is what I declare into my life. I declare that I am healthy. I declare that I am well. I might not be feeling it right now, but I'm declaring it. The bank might not be telling me that I'm prosperous, but I'm declaring it. I might be really struggling with this addiction, this situation, but I'm declaring that I'm self-disciplined and I'm able to deal with this. And everything that God's got for us to declare into our lives is the truth. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to declare into our own lives and to declare into others' lives. Be careful of the idle words. You will give account for them. At the same time, you know, be careful not to let those things take root, because it all starts with a joke sometimes. But, you know, I'm not saying, like I said before, you know, don't lose your sense of humour and walk around thinking, I can't say anything. You know, and you know, just to close, do think about those words of when somebody does say something that you think, well, that's not the truth. Think about your response towards that person, because chances are you don't know what that person's going through. You don't know how deep that wound is. And to have a certain response, to have a hyper-faith response, might not be very helpful. But to just be loving and caring and being loving one another, as we're called to do, to the point where we say, well, I'm so sorry to hear that you're going through that. Shall we declare some of God's truths into your life? Mm. Would you like me to declare some stuff over you right now? Would you like to declare some stuff together? Can we all do that?
Yes.
Cool. Amen. Have a great week. Thanks, Steve.